Hello and welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you in conjunction with KBIA. In keeping with our tradition of bringing you original adaptations of obscure stories, tonight we present Wanted, A Wife by Carlotta M. Hardy. It was first published in the All Story Weekly in 1916. Our research on Ms. Hardy turned up almost nothing. It's the only story we could find by her on the web, and couldn't find any biographical information either. Because it has so many of the same elements used by P.G. Wodehouse, there was some speculation on the internet that he may have actually written this story under a pseudonym. Whatever the author's origins might have been, it is a marvelous story. And so we hope you enjoy our adaptation of Wanted, A Wife by the Maplewood Barn Radio Players. Letter in hand, Edward made his way through the gap in the hedge, reading again the small script of the handwriting. It was 8:30, and the postman had just left his batch of mail, and the first letter he had read had been this. With a preoccupied scowl, he swung across the lawn toward the next house. His face scarcely lightened when a fresh voice called to him, and looking up, he espied a smiling face poked out of one of the upper windows. It was a blooming face with a dimple in the chin, staunch gray eyes, and a head of rebellious tow-colored hair, all framed by a purple wisteria that trailed its flowery bower above the window.
Hello, Edward. I'm almost ready. I'll be down in a minute.
Oh, no matter about the clubs this morning, Madge. Can't go to the club today.
Why not?
Come down and I'll tell you.
Well, what is it?
Aunt Emmeline is coming.
That means...
The fact is, Madge, I'm in the deuce of a hole.
Go on.
I've got to have a wife inside of an hour.
A wife inside of an hour?
Precisely. Of course, I haven't known you all that long, but I wonder if you'll help me out.
Help you out? Let's go sit on the veranda and you can explain.
Well, you see, it's this way. Aunt Emmeline is a good old sort, but she's dippy. Dippy as places about getting married. It's a regular bug with her, and she's been at me steadily for the past 5 years. I promised and promised faithfully, but I'm a bachelor still, you observe.
Very much so.
Well, about 2 weeks ago, she wrote that she had been planning a trip around the world, but I had decided to give it up as she hated to leave for an extended trip until I was safely married. Didn't want to leave me all alone in America.
Well?
Well, I telegraphed her to go ahead with the trip, that I'd just been married, suddenly.
Oh, Ed, you didn't really, did you?
It's no joke. Just read that. Go on, read it.
My dearest nephew, my favorite nephew, it was with such joy that I received your missive and learned that you have at last taken my advice and gotten married. At the last moment, I have changed my plans and canceled my passage from San Francisco so I can come on to New York and see you both before departing for foreign lands. Expect me on the morning of the 5th, dear Edward. My train will arrive at 10 o'clock, and I shall be able to spend the day with you and your dear wife. It may be for the last time. Travel is hazardous. Heaven alone knows what might happen. But my mind is at rest now that my dear boy is actually married. Your telegram put me in quite a flurry, but I have arranged all my affairs in case anything should happen to me. And I have telegraphed an engaged passage, so I can sail from New York on the 6th. I shall be with you only one day, but oh, how much that will mean. My fondest love to you and your darling wife. Your affectionate Aunt Emmeline.
Well?
I'll see you through. It won't be bad for only a day.
By George, you're a sport, all right, Madge. It was wrong of me, of course, but I didn't want the old lady to lose her fun on my account.
Don't worry. I'll play the part for Aunt Emmeline, so she'll start on her travels with a light heart. It'll be fun.
You can count on me when your turn comes.
Phew, I'll be careful not to get into any such scrapes. Now be off. Time's short, and you've got to go over and meet her. Now off you go. Wait, are the servants all right?
Oh, I'll fix them.
For a few moments, Madge sat swinging slowly to and fro in the hammock, her forehead drawn into an intent pucker, her eyes full of thought. Then she arose and walked into the house, making straight for her own room where she put her unruly hair into order, and after a minute's survey of the dresses hanging on the hooks in her closet, selected a blue ruffed affair with a grimace and stripping off her comfortable midi and short serge skirt, proceeded to array herself, changing her rubber-soled tennis shoes for white kid pumps, and, when the transformation was complete, making a small face at herself in the glass. It took no diplomacy to explain matters downstairs, for no one was at home, and she strolled in a leisurely fashion across the lawn, through the hedge, repeating to herself as she went up toward the old-fashioned house.
Mrs. Holloway. Mrs. Edward Holloway. That's me. Let's see, it's 10 o'clock. Aunt Emmeline must just be arriving. It will take an hour to get to Staten Island. An hour? But this won't do at all. This big drawing room looks too bare and stiff. A horribly masculine litter and shockingly uninviting. Good thing I happen to have a whole garden to scatter about in vases. Then we open the windows to let in the warm, sweet air, rearrange the furniture, and off back home to select a load of feminine trinkets which, when dropped here and there, will give a touch of my own personality to the old rooms of Edward's house. I'd best get a bustle on.
An hour later, all in readiness, the scene carefully set for the little comedy, Madge stood in the doorway, calm-eyed and smiling, as Ed's machine swung up the drive and came to a halt before the steps. He jumped to the walk, casting one approving glance at the figure in the doorway, at the blue ruffled gown, the glistening tow-colored hair, the steady, smiling gray eyes. Madge certainly made a staunch little bride. There was not a flicker of her demure lashes, not a shade of uncertainty in her direct gaze.
Aunt Emmeline, this is, Madge.
So happy to have you in our home, Aunt Emmeline.
Come give us a hug, my dear new niece.
Oof! Quite the bear hug, dear Auntie. Now let's get you comfortable.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear. Here's my bonnet, my veil, my traveling coat. Oh, no, dear. That little chamois bag around my neck has my traveling money in it. I'll just keep that where it is. Now, I have to be sure that my glasses and smelling salts are safe in my reticule. Good. I'm all set for a nice sit-down. Edward, you did grab my umbrella from your machine, didn't you?
Well, I did, Aunt Emmeline, although I hardly think you shall need your umbrella in the parlor of my our home.
To think that you've actually gotten married, Edward. I can't believe it. Now, dear Madge, you really must sit down and tell me all about the wedding. The naughty boy never gave me a hint. I don't even know the day.
It was on the, 25th of May.
Only 10 days ago. Where did you go on your honeymoon?
the truth is, we cut out the wedding trip.
Cut it out? A wedding without a honeymoon? Oh, dear me. Well, you can show me your wedding presents and your trousseau. I do like to look things over. You'll get my present in a few days.
I tabooed the presents.
Tabooed the presents? I never heard of such a thing.
It's getting to be quite the style.
Next you'll be telling me there were no bridesmaids.
We didn't have any bridesmaids, in fact.
No bridesmaids? For heaven's sake, what next? Have wedding dresses gone out of style, too?
Oh,
well, it's all the same now. It's over and done with, Aunt Emmeline.
If only I'd been here. You are all I have left to love in the world. All. And I wasn't even here to see you married. If only I could have witnessed the ceremony. Couldn't you go through it again for me?
What?
Were you married in church?
No.
At the bride's home, by the family pastor?
No.
Where were you married?
At City Hall.
What?
We were married at the City Hall.
Isn't there any minister in this neighborhood?
Yes, but I didn't hit it off with him, and he's away now, on a vacation. Madge's family are Episcopalians, and father was a Baptist, so we sort of, compromised by...
No one in our family was ever married without a minister.
But it's perfectly legal.
It doesn't seem right to me. Don't you think you ought to have a minister repeat the service?
Oh, well, you see...
I won't feel satisfied till you do.
But...
Really, there's no need.
Then I could witness the ceremony. So it's all settled.
But
that's
really,
not really, we don't need to do that.
Tut, I will never be satisfied until you do. Until you are united by a minister, I won't have a minute's peace of mind. There's no use in my going on board the steamer. I couldn't sail with this on my mind.
It was evident that the cherished sentiments of a lifetime had been rudely shaken, and Emmeline closed her eyes and asked if the window shade might be lowered. She was very much upset. The June sunshine and the red roses and Madge's solicitous attentions were all in vain. This little comedy, which had been so nicely staged, seemed to be all for naught. The two stole away and whispered together in the hall.
What are we going to do now?
It's a tough one.
Could we bluff it through somehow?
We could try.
You are a sport, Madge. So are you game for a mock marriage?
Sure.
I had no business getting into this scrape. I was a selfish pig to propose it to begin with. Now we're going in deeper and deeper.
We've got to pacify her. If she stays, it will just get worse.
Great Caesar, I should say so. Suppose I get one of the fellows over on the links to act the part of the minister.
Well, that's an idea. Why not go on over and see?
I have to run down to the Borough Hall and get a license. We'll both have to go. But we'll be back in time for you to make a fake bridal costume.
I can see it all, Eddie. Can't you just picture it? The mock wedding in the handsome old room, the sentimental aunt, the solemn young clergyman, and the celebration when it's all over and Aunt Emmeline is safely dispatched to foreign parts.
Yes, I can. I'll just dash off to the garage and collect the machine. Then it will be a short matter to secure a license and soon have you speeding homeward in a taxi while I make a quick run to the links.
Sounds fine, Eddie.
Let's use at the clubhouse. Oh, what luck. There's Graham. Hey, Graham! Graham! Look here, Graham. I've got a proposition to put to you.
Okay, Eddie. Far away.
It's all a bit of a mess. Madge is pretending to be my wife. Aunt doesn't believe we are really wed, which of course we aren't, and I don't intend to be. But she won't leave.
Madge?
No, Aunt Emmeline. She wants to see us married by a proper minister. So, will you impersonate the part of the minister?
Can't you get somebody else?
You mean you don't want to officiate?
I'd really rather not. Look, here comes Holmes, Fisher, and Judson. Try to convince one of them to do it.
Edward placed his case before them. They argued it for 15 minutes, but no one seemed keen to take on the role of a minister. They were a rugged, wholesome lot, and with one accord fought doing anything irregular. One after another, the fellows drifted in and congregated on the piazza, but Edward's scheme met with little favor. They all knew Madge. She was a popular girl, and they were all possessed with scruples, much to Edward's chagrin. The chances seemed hopeless when a tall, slender young man climbed the steps and started to enter the clubhouse. Graham hailed him, and he joined the group.
Spin your yarn, Eddie. Mr. Burton is a new member, but maybe he can help you out.
Oh, Burton, we've only met once, but I'm in a terrible fix. You see, my Aunt Emmeline is in town, and she has always wanted me to be married. Well, in order to ease her mind, I told her I am married, and now she has showed up to meet the new bride.
That's wonderful news. Congratulations. I didn't know you were getting married.
No. You see, I'm not really married. I just told Aunt Emmeline that to get her off my back. The good news is a friend of mine, Madge, has agreed to stand in as my bride. Look, I've got to get out of this some way. It's getting serious.
And you think a fake marriage will solve this problem?
Sure. Why wouldn't it?
And this girl, Madge, is she willing?
Oh, yeah, she is all in. That's just the sort of friend Madge is.
Why don't you marry her? In earnest, I mean.
I never thought of her that way. I'm not sure she'd have me.
Have you known her long?
Why, no. 6 months, maybe. We have been great chums. Bosom pals, in fact.
I might be able to help you out.
Say, that's mighty fine of you, helping out a club member who's practically a stranger to you.
I haven't made any promises yet. But I'll go up to the house and talk to the girl, if that's all right with you.
Oh, perfectly fine. Jump right into my machine and we'll be off.
You'll have problems. I'm afraid if you can't produce a marriage license.
Oh, no, I've already taken care of that. Here's the fateful document, correct in every detail. Edward Holloway, age 22, Margaret Sorners, age 22, etc. Here's my car. Off we go. Well, here we are.
Nice place. A fellow like you ought to get married.
Yes, you're probably right, but let's deal with the immediate problem first. There's Madge. Mr. Burton, please meet Madge.
Nice to make your acquaintance, Mr. Burton.
He has agreed to act as our,
I have not agreed to anything yet, except to examine the situation.
Yes, yes, I understand.
Goodness, I'm glad to see you, Eddie.
Has Aunt Emmeline given you a lively time?
She's a dear old thing, but she's been wearing me out.
Come on, then. Let's get inside before she begins eating the furniture. Aunt Emmeline, I just managed to find someone at the last minute. I ran into him at the club. The Reverend Mr. Burton, the curate of All Souls Church.
You will have to excuse my non-clerical appearance. I had no time to prepare for the ceremony. Mr. Holloway was anxious that I should come at once.
Oh, my dear Reverend, you have no idea how relieved I am. I know what the children have done is legal, but it still doesn't seem to me that they have properly tied the knot.
I'm afraid I'll have to trouble someone for a prayer book. I don't have one with me.
May I offer you mine? I'll just run upstairs to get it.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. But may I have a word with you first?
Of course. Please come this way, Reverend. I will have to go home to get the prayer book. I live next door.
Wait a minute. I have to make sure that you are perfectly willing to go through with this. If you have any objections to seeing this...
Objections? No, not at all. You don't think I'd see Eddie in a hole like this without giving him a hand, do you?
He is relying on you.
Is he?
You really ought to go ahead and marry him.
Oh, dear. I suppose I will have to wait until he asks me. Even we modern girls like our men to do the asking. I'll be right back.
The bride will be in shortly.
Thank you, Burton. You know I will never forget this favor.
Certainly. It's my pleasure.
Now, let me see. If we have the bride and groom stand here in front of the mantle, we can build up a big bower of roses to frame their nuptials. Oh, Edward, would you please have the chauffeur run to the confectioner's to fetch some candies for afterward?
Yes, Aunt Emmeline.
And we need to rearrange the furniture. Reverend Burton, would you please help Edward move the divan over into the corner? Yes, yes, that's much better. And this chair is right in the way. Let's see, you could put it over there by the bay window. That will do in a pinch. Now we need a bridal cake and a large bowl of punch to drink the young couple's health.
I'll have the chauffeur pick some up on the way to the confectioner's.
Good thinking, Edward.
And so on and so forth, until about an hour later, there was a soft pat of footsteps coming down the stairs, the faintest rustle outside the door. Then came the bride. She was dressed in white, all in pure, delicate white, which fell in simple lines down her girlish figure. In her hand was a small white prayer book, and on her flaxen hair was fastened a white veil, which hung in shimmering folds down her shoulders and over her pale face. Burton stepped forward and took the prayer book. Edward, with a rather startled glance, took his place beside the bride. Together they stood in front of Burton, who had taken his position in front of the bower of red roses.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here.
Oh, she's so beautiful.
Yes, you are, Madge. I've never seen you look so stunning.
Burton continued reading the service. He did it very well. It was a well-simulated wedding ceremony. Word by word, Burton read the beautiful Episcopal service. Edward and Madge made the responses.
Do you, Margaret, promise to be Edward's loving wife?
I do.
And do you, Edward, promise to be Margaret's loving husband?
I do.
Do you have the ring?
Yes, I found... yes, here is the wedding band.
Please place it on her finger. Yes, good. I now pronounce you man and wife.
Yes?
You may now kiss the bride.
Oh, yes, of course. Kiss. I almost forgot.
Dear children, I hope you'll be very happy.
Edward tried to carry it off with a laugh, but somehow the laugh wouldn't come. In the depths of Madge's gray eyes was a troubled cloud. One pearly tear took its course slowly down her pale cheek. Even when the impromptu wedding breakfast was served on the flower-decked table in the dining room, the cloud did not lift.
Toast to my new bride.
Oh, that is so beautiful. What a wonderful sentiment. The dream of my life has been fulfilled. I have seen my dear boy married. He will have the influence of a good wife. A load is taken off my poor mind. I can die easy now. The money that has never done me any good will help build up this happy home. Oh, my, yes. I must do something for you, Reverend Burton. A check. Here, Reverend, I want you to accept this little gift for the poor in your parish in commemoration of this happy day.
I thank you. You are very generous. And now I must bid you adieu, as I have other pressing church business. Margaret, you are a beautiful bride.
Thank you ever so much, Reverend Burton.
Yes, thank you.
Edward, if I may have a quick word with you before I leave.
Certainly. Say, that was well done, Burton. Almost as if it was the real thing. Here, I'll get rid of that check. Pass it on to a real charity.
No, I'll take it.
You don't mean to say that you are going to keep that check?
Certainly. Why not?
Why not? That's carrying things too far, don't you think?
I'm a virtual stranger to you, Mr. Holloway. But I'm ready to give my credentials. Please call Mrs. Holloway.
All right. Madge, there you are. All right, go ahead, Burton. What have you got to say?
Marriage is a pretty serious thing. It should never be turned into jest. When you approached me over at the club about this matter, I fully appreciated the difficulty you were in, but at the same time, I saw no way out of it except by a bona fide marriage.
What are you...
You two seemed well fitted for each other. It seemed like only a matter of time before you would arrive at this conclusion yourselves. I was merely anticipating the inevitable. I considered the possibilities carefully, and I married you in good faith.
What are you talking about? This is altogether too much of a joke. Who are you?
I am the new assistant curate of All Souls Church.
And you mean that...
I mean you are man and wife, truly man and wife. I hope you are both very happy and that I see you again soon. Now, I must be going.
Yes, of course. Thank you, I guess.
I don't know what to say.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that...
Where are you, dear children? Can't you let Auntie share your happiness? Ah, there you are. Getting ready to run away? Wish your old auntie were anywhere but here. It was a romantic scene. I shall never forget you two standing there before the altar of roses. And that dear young curate put such feeling into the service. Beautiful, beautiful. And the perfect day. Heaven smiles upon you.
Yes, well, I think that I had better take off my veil and dress.
Yes, dear. It is 5 o'clock, and I need to board the ship soon. Suppose you just give me a cup of tea, and then you both can take me to the dock.
Oh, yes, I'll drive you over. Madge, do you feel like coming too?
Of course. Yes, I'll come.
Then when I'm all snugly ensconced in my cabin, you two can ride back together, alone.
And so the program was carried out. Another hour of constrained silences, a valiant effort to bluff it through, and Anne Emmeline was taken to the ferry and escorted aboard her boat. After a prolonged leave-taking and kisses and tears and confidences about a long-planned trip around the world, and more kisses and more tears and exclamations over the fruit and flowers and candy with which Edward had filled her cabin, Aunt Emmeline called them back for a final adieu.
I've made you my sole heir, Edward. You and Madge will have it all. And if the first is a girl, will you name it after me?
I can honestly say that Madge and I have never really discussed having children, but of course.
Of course, but no, I mean, we'll just have to see what happens. But I would be happy to name my daughter after you, dear Auntie. Oh, dear.
That's the bell, Auntie. We'll have to go. We'll have to sleep in the same stateroom with you until we get to Europe or wherever. Well, bon voyage and all that. Let's go, Madge.
Goodbye, Mr. and Mrs. Holloway. Oh, how I love the sound of that.
Madge! Madge! What have I done? Can you ever forgive me? Oh, good God! What's the use of pretending? What if I do care, Madge? What if I found out all of a sudden? What if this business woke me up to the truth?
Don't lie!
No matter what your feelings are, I know mine. It wasn't a joke when I stood beside you in front of Burton. I was dead serious. It's too late now, I suppose. I've muffed the finest thing that ever came to me, and I've got to take my medicine like a man. But I'm glad you're my wife. I wish it was for real. I wish it was going to last. When you chuck me, oh well. Here's your house, Madge. I guess it won't take much to have the whole thing undone.
Drive on. Home.
Oh, Madge, you're such a good sport.
But only if you kiss the bride, Eddie. Really kiss the bride this time.
See what a good husband I will make? You don't have to tell me twice.
And so, with traffic backing up behind them, the kiss between Edward and Madge seemed to go on forever. Without breaking the kiss, Edward sticks his arm out the window and waves the other cars around. And here we must leave the newlyweds to their marital bliss. We hope you've enjoyed this rendition of a story entitled Wanted, a Wife, by Carlotta M. Hardy, as adapted for radio by Dave Collins. Our players were Sean McCumber as Edward, Kelly Catrava as Madge, Pat Humphrey was Emmeline, Brad Buchanan was Graham, and Carrie Butters was the Reverend Burton. This is your narrator, Darren Helwedge. I also engineered the show. On behalf of the Maplewood Barn Radio players, we hope you'll join us again next week for another classic story here on KBIA.